Hi, this is our weird discussion about Summer Games Fest and the Xbox Showcase and everything that happened last week. So you've already listened to all the other people you care about, so we thought we would weigh in. Doom. So I feel like this Doom trailer is fun, and yes, I miss the Mick Gordon music. You can almost tell that it's not that. But I just love a shield that has a chainsaw on the outside.
Yeah.
Like, that's just cool. Like, the absolute champions. Yeah, absolute champions of metal as hell stuff.
I feel like there's good enough reason to think they'll do okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I participate in Doom discourse simply by watching it and listening to the soundtrack. I think I played the first half hour of Doom 2016, and it was not for me. I do not enjoy these kinds of shooters. But this looks sick.
Yeah.
That's so dumb. This giant mech with devil horns. Godzilla battles.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all the right kinds of stupid.
Yeah. Ugh, what a time.
And they have traditionally like prioritized making sure that the gameplay loop is fun for that specific type of gameplay loop. So I hope they have found a way to make this slightly different combat work that way, I guess. That's my only concern.
Yeah, because some of the stuff there looked pretty wide open, right? Like, you're not going through as many like narrow hallways and...
Yeah.
Like small combat arenas. It looks like there's some in there.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, there was a fair bit of melee you had to interact with in the other ones. So, yeah. They probably have this figured out.
Yeah, I'm curious what this one looks like. All right, well, what else is in here? Did you watch the Avowed trailer?
Yes, that seems like exactly what you would expect it to be.
Yeah, it does. I'm curious. It very much has the feeling of they tried to make a second trailer for this game that says, hey, you know, that other studio made Skyrim, and we're going to do a Skyrim, but we're going to do it specifically because we're the New Vegas people, and we're going to do a New Vegas version of Skyrim.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm in. Like, I played those, the two, I think, Pillars of Eternity games, and it's an interesting world from what I remember, so. I'm down to give it a go.
It's definitely worth... Worth a second look for sure.
Yeah.
Was there a date on that one?
So this is the one that is supposed to be, I think, October or November of this year.
Okay.
But they continue to scrub the date from releases, which means that maybe it isn't.
Yeah. That makes sense. That looks large and complex enough to make sticking the landing complicated.
Yeah, it's mostly just really fun watching this trailer and realizing that it's really been, like, there hasn't been another one of these since Skyrim. Like, the idea of a first-person RPG in, like, a medieval magic setting, I don't think there's been another huge major one since Skyrim has been re-released a billion times. So just seeing it in modern particle physics and like just the whole thing looks way prettier in my mind, just because whenever I think of a game like this, I think of what Skyrim looked like, and that's mostly muddy and brown and a little bit of green.
Yeah, this one looks a little crispier in a good way.
Yeah,
a little more visually coherent, I think, too.
Yeah. Let's see. What else is on this list? Gears of War E-Day. Did you get really excited that Marcus Fenix was going to be in this game and he wasn't going to have his do-rag?
I have never cared about anything less.
About his do-rag or Gears of War?
I mean, a little bit of both, I guess.
Okay.
This was never my... I played one of these for one evening. That was it.
I think that's about where I'm at with it, too.
It was, like, the most miserable multiplayer experience that I'd had in a long time. Because it's like its own... The shotgun combat role mechanic was its own kind of game at that point in time.
Yep.
That's not what I was expecting going into it that night. And internet went out also, so we had, like, really bad ping the whole time. And, yeah.
Oof.
Soured me early.
I played through probably the first maybe more than that. I might have beat the first Gears game. I specifically remember a train sequence, and maybe that was the last of it. But I never went further than that, and I've always been a little bit Gears curious, but it just... All I can think of is the Mad World trailer, and that just kind of does weird stuff. I think they have another weird slow cover in this trailer, too, which is very funny to me.
Yeah. Didn't we play through one of these?
I think it was the first one.
Play through one of these. Okay.
Because there is the... I remember the train, and then I remember being in some tunnels, and then there was a car that had a spotlight because there were scary bats. That's about all I remember. And stopping and popping constantly, obviously.
Are Gears of War people excited about this?
It's a good question.
Like, if it does that, then I think it is good. Like,
yeah.
It can absolutely be good and very much not for me.
Yeah. I imagine
so. It
looks
like it's supposed to be pretty fan service-y, so hopefully the people who want a Gears of War are happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it's just good. Hopefully this is not like a... It seems like what they are doing is kind of the antithesis of what they've been doing with Halo, where they just continue to move forward in the timeline and create more complex things. And I think they're doing much more of a, like, very discreet, like, bottle episode, kind of, where, like, all of the Gears of War stuff has happened, but, like, this is E-Day, so there's, like, one specific tiny little thing that we're playing with, and then the rest of Marcus's story happens later. So it's like a... I imagine it's a prequel of some sorts. I guess I don't actually know, but...
He looked young-ish, so...
Yeah.
That feels probably right. Prequels are always tough, because you, like, know where it has to go at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
If the writing isn't careful, that can really limit the amount of tension you can create.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious. Hopefully that is what the people are looking for.
We should talk about Perfect Dark.
Yeah, let's talk about Perfect Dark. I want to talk about Dragon Age also, and then some other stuff, but the Perfect Dark, just because we played through half of it last night, and I now know what Datadyne is and who Carrington is. I have lots of questions and thoughts after watching this.
Okay, go for it.
Is it a prequel? Is it a different reality?
I'm assuming it's a different timeline, but
okay.
I guess I don't know if there's anything that technically rules it out as a prequel. I'm trying to remember more of the, like, the lore that the game didn't let us read last night.
Yeah.
I think it would be weird if it was a prequel.
But, okay.
Like, this, the state of the world being backwards from the start of N64 Perfect Dark would be, like, a weird thing to not have come up in the N64 version if this was a prequel.
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
So, from my watching at the beginning of this trailer, you are working for Datadyne.
Yes.
And you are besieging Carrington. And,
yeah.
And the very first level we played in that N64 version is that.
Is the opposite.
You are, working for the Carrington Institute and doing espionage against Datadyne.
Yeah.
So this feels like it's going to be like, I'm working for the bad guys.
Yeah, and then I guess, like, by the end of it, it makes it seem like Carrington is trying to recruit you by showing you the truth, that the truth lies. And then there's some numbers. Yeah,
so I'm assuming it's just an alternate timeline.
Okay. But, yeah, because also they revealed that she is redheaded Joanna Dark, which is the Perfect Dark Zero Joanna Dark, not the Perfect Dark N64.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the same character anyways, right?
Man. I did not get far enough into that 360 version to know off the top of my head.
Okay.
I think the 360 one was actually maybe a prequel.
Okay.
Which is why that model, the player model in the remake that we were playing, looks like young.
Okay. Yeah, also Carrington is in Scottish in this, so maybe that's more credence to either recasting or... maybe it is a different timeline.
I hope it is. It looks like they took like some of the stealth elements that we kind of danced around in the N64 version and flushed that out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it has some Splinter Cell vibes to it.
Yeah, it does. It also has some really good, just watching through some of the gun combat here, it looks like it has some good... like takedown stuff in there, and the fire extinguisher is a good touch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope it controls well.
Yeah,
I feel like if it's not tight enough, the things they're trying to do won't. If I can't consistently make Joanna do the thing that I think of in my head, then that game looks like it's going to be exhausting to play.
Yeah, otherwise, especially
it'll probably be really fun.
Especially with the. There's some like real Titanfall looking wall running and climbing and stuff here that if that doesn't feel like Titanfall, that's going to be rough to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
It is beautiful though. Like this clearly a level, which is nice, not like free roam stuff. And it is really well done. Also looks like there's some manage of like powers in here. Yeah, I'm at least interested, especially after playing through some of it last night, playing through the original one.
Yeah, that goes places. I hope they are as unrestrained with the plot as that one is also.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so.
There's a few reveals still in the original that we haven't hit yet.
But okay. Does it
definitely got the vibe of...
Does it explain what the weird orb is at the end of this trailer? The, like, research suits and different colored orb.
Look at the orb right there.
Yeah, 3-10-ish. That looks like you're doing...
Avatar-looking...
Yeah. Or, like, multiple-dimension portal thing.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
No, our the N64 game is... This is going to sound insane, but more street level than that.
Great. Okay, cool.
Like, not that much more, but... One dimension. We stay in one dimension.
All right. Yeah, that it looks good. I'm curious about how it... Knowing that this is probably a bit of a troubled development, or had been previously... I'm curious how it's going to end up, but I am more interested in this than I was previously.
They made a good trailer.
Yeah, they did. They did. And they showed a lot of actual gameplay there, which is nice. I think last time we even heard about this game, it was a red light on a logo.
Yeah, that makes sense. That was what, like 5 years ago or something? Probably?
It was a couple years ago for sure. Let's see. What was there anything else that jumped out at you? I threw this Expedition 33 in here and South of Midnight from the Xbox showcase. Did you have thoughts on them, or just they look good?
They look promising.
Okay.
Like I said, I think you're going to be deeply disappointed with whatever Expedition 33 ends up being.
Yeah. 33 seems like seems like the game that I will spend more time reading wikis about than actually enjoying. Like, I'm not like a huge turn-based combat person, but it looks stylish, and I appreciate that it's not the same as kind of the way that you expect those games to look. Like, it looks like an action game, but with turn-based stuff in it, which is cool. But yeah, I'm not sure about it.
It has asymmetrical jackets, so
yeah,
we know you'll buy it.
Listen,
it's just a matter of how much time you'll spend with it.
The style in Expedition 33 and even Flintlock are very like, let's start doing 1800s military uniforms, and I'm here for it. But is it going to be good? Who knows?
Yeah. Will there be an interesting gameplay loop? That has yet to be seen.
Yeah. My last two big ones, I think, are mostly a very wary thought on Star Wars Outlaws. Did you watch anything of that?
Yeah, I danced around it a bit.
Okay.
I didn't, like, go straight through the whole thing.
It's the Ubisoft, they refer to it, the first line.
Oh,
in
no,
that,
I did watch this one.
Okay. Yeah. The first line in that trailer is, it's the first open world Star Wars game, which, I don't know, that doesn't feel right to me, but I guess kind of.
I guess it depends on how you're defining open world.
Yeah. Jedi Survivor was like, sure was open planet on a bunch of those.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I'm not sure.
And, like, I don't know. What about the MMO?
Right, yeah. The Old Republic is not an open world game. That's different.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't trust Ubisoft to make anything anymore, so.
I think the real problem with Outlaws is that it's, like, an interesting part of, like, it's an interesting angle on Star Wars stuff that you don't really interact with a ton. Even in media, like, I think Andor is the closest you get to, there's no lightsabers in this. But the having the comparison point of Jedi Survivor last year being really cool and really interesting, and I enjoyed most of it, and then having just played Far Cry 6 and being, like, the weird Assassin's Creed fiend, I'm very nervous to see what Assassin's Creed but Star Wars looks like, because it's just not going to be as good and polished and simple as something like Jedi Survivor was, and that is troublesome.
Yeah, I think it'll probably suffer from my standard Ubi complaint, which is like, wow, you put a lot of systems in here, and you maybe should have had less of them.
Yep.
You tried to make like 6 different games at the same time, and I wish you would have picked one or two of them instead.
Yep. Yeah, I'm curious if having the Star Wars license has some amount of shackles on them, but I imagine it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more like a design philosophy issue where,
yeah,
like, big equals good seems to be a driving principle, or just more equals good.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's the case anymore.
No, I don't think it is, but we'll see on this one. I'm like, still highly skeptical of this being a good fun game, but I will play this one.
Yeah, I probably will too. It'll probably be fun for like at least 3 or 4 PlayStations, and I'll realize, man, I am spinning too many plates that are all essentially meaningless, so I'm going to go do something else.
You are a stronger person than I am. I will get very close to 100%ing this game out of sheer force of will. Because I'm broken. Speaking of broken. You didn't play Starfield at all, did you?
No.
Okay. The shattered space stuff, so when Starfield launched last August, September maybe, I don't remember. When Starfield launched, they immediately were like, okay, cool, here's Starfield, and also Shattered Space is coming later. And they finally, like, there's been very little explanation of what Shattered Space is going to be this entire time. The general speculation is that it was going to be about House Vaerun, which is a cool space cult where they hopped on a generation ship, flew off into deep space, and someone experienced the great serpent of the universe, and now they have a snake-based cult. Cult religion.
That sounds great. I love snake cults.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But they're very much like the Quarians in Mass Effect Andromeda. It was just like, you get a companion who's from there, and then basically you don't hear anything about them at all, except for like random one-off ships here and there. So this is like the House Vayrun thing, and it looks wild. And in a very weird, like, welcome to the snake cult. Also, there's ghosts and weird orbs of like temporal distortion and stuff. So I'm curious about this one too. And I will play Starfield because I really enjoyed the base game. But
how does that line up with the base game in terms of like tone? I guess in my head, with based on basically nothing, Starfield was maybe a little more hard sci-fi than that in my preconception.
So Starfield kind of has the weird thing where there's the hard sci-fi version of like basically a version of the Federation, and there's like quest lines that are very similar to Aliens, and there's like a whole pirate quest line where you have to defeat the space pirates or join them. But the Federation was in conflict a little bit before the game with the Freestar Collective, which are just basically space cowboys with cowboy hats and everything. So it's like, it's hard sci-fi a little bit, and then sometimes it's a little bit of Firefly in there. So I think that there is, like, as you get through the game, there is some more space magic-y by way of science stuff in there, but nothing on the degree of what they're showing in some of the Shattered Space stuff.
Okay, so this is definitely weird, but not like completely out of nowhere.
Yeah, and like there's some, I mean, late game, definitely there's some, like the whole point of that game is collecting artifacts and then putting them together and reality distortion, etc., etc.
Okay.
But not on the degree that this is.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious about this, just if nothing else, that there's like a whole corner of like Starfield lore, like one of the three main factions was just almost completely not in the original game, so it'll be nice to get that filled out a little bit. And hopefully informed by, you know, almost a year of feedback about all of the stuff in that game already.
Yeah, I mean, that don't hope for that.
I mean, I'm not hoping for it. The name was already out there, so like this has been in the works. But
I feel like they are not known for incorporating feedback particularly well.
Yeah, not big feedback like that.
Like, people have been complaining that their games are a broken mess for 20 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But maybe it'll be good. I think I already have, I think the edition of Starfield I got has that included already, so I will be there.
Cool. It'll be interesting to see how many people come back to this.
Yeah.
I hope it does well. I hope it can give people who were not happy with Starfield something.
Yeah. I guess that they also announced, maybe it's already in the game at this point, but they finally put in the creation kit stuff, so you can finally have official approved by Bethesda mods in there. So
aren't they like monetizing those in a really unethical and gross way though?
I don't know how they're actually monetizing them, but it is like a weird, they are for sale in the, at least the way that it worked for Fallout is that there are a very small amount of official creation club ones that you can get, and you have to pay money for those. And I think the way that they talk about it is that it's, you know, paying the creators for the work that they're doing, but there sure is a very small list of mods in there, so who knows what that process is.
I feel like I saw that they were getting review bombed again for something, but
classic.
Who knows if that's warranted or not. I have not looked into it much.
Yeah. All right. Here's the one, and unless you have other ones that you want to talk about, the big one that I wanted to talk about is the Dragon Age gameplay reveal. How much of this did you watch?
That was the one that I skipped around in.
Okay.
I watched all of the Outlaws one. It was the Dragon Age one that I bounced around because that was like 25 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And I super don't trust BioWare anymore. So I will be happy to look at that very closely when it's released.
Yeah. So I think this is my biggest thought about just the Dragon Age reveal in general is, one, I'm very skeptical of a BioWare game in the year 2024. It looks like a BioWare game in the year 2024. And that is both very exciting to me and also very scary.
Yeah.
Like, I think
they're like really good at making 80% of a great game.
Yeah. And like I guess like to their credit, what I am seeing in this trailer with like the character interactions and like the funny, this person approves of this person disapproves of the choice that you've made, like all of that, it is 100% what I expect from one of these. And it is like really, really hitting me where I want to play this. I also don't mind the, like, there's a big kerfuffle a while ago about how the pivot that they made was to the God of War 2018 style combat. And I think this, like, you can see it, but it almost doesn't do a good enough job of doing that. But they still peppered in some of the actual Dragon Age stuff, which I appreciate. Like, there's a full, like, quick menu that pops up where you can select skills and it pauses the game, which I think is...
Okay.
Like, that's Dragon Age to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The ability wheel. And you'll be able to choose your abilities from there, and then you can also ping your companion's abilities, which I think is a more robust version of the left and right on the D-pad for something like Mass Effect. I think you could do that in Inquisition as well.
Yeah, I don't remember how much of Inquisition I played. It wasn't none. And then we had that weird dalliance with the multiplayer, which this combat is definitely reminiscent of a bit.
Yeah, I finished it. I love Inquisition. It's a good time, and I'm curious about where they're taking the story with this one. And I remember enjoying the combat system, but I also don't remember. I don't feel like it lasted very well for the 100+ hours I put into that game. I think it,
yeah,
just especially like magic just turned into let me do my big fuck off spells and then move on.
Everything dies. Yeah, I push the kill everything button.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they maybe, and maybe that's a good problem to have, is like, oh, we make a compelling enough world that you spend enough time here to wear out the mechanisms that we have in place.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's more a way we're framing the game as an issue than the way they're making it. But
yeah. Yeah,
we will see.
I'm excited for this. Like, I want a BioWare-ass BioWare game. Like, as much as I am an Anthem apologist at some points, like, it is very nice to see a game where it's like, hey, this person has a backstory, and four different times in this 20-minute segment, we're going to talk about the backstory that you had in a very ham-fisted but kind of fun way. Like, oh, you are taking my choice into account. That's nice.
What do you think their last good game was?
I think it was probably Inquisition.
That's what I was wondering.
I think?
Scrolling the list now. Origins was 2009. Mass Effect 2, 2010.
It must be, right?
Inquisition was 2014. Since then, we've had Andromeda, Anthem... And that's it.
Yeah.
The Mass Effect remasters.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Legendary Edition, huh? But
I'm not counting that.
Yeah, and,
like,
I think...
I feel like, were people hit or miss on Inquisition, or was that one relatively...
I think that was relatively positive. Pretty sure.
Yeah, that looks like it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I am excited for this. I think they're doing a lot of the good things, and maybe the best part of this for, you know, show related stuff is this whole gameplay segment in the beginning takes place in Tevinter, which is a part of the Dragon Age world that you really don't, like, you hear about. You have a companion from there in Inquisition, but you don't actually go there, and it's a very... the mages rule the world in a very fascist-y kind of way. So I'm interested in seeing more of this world, because I feel like they usually do a good job of filling it out and making it interesting. And the rest of it, I'm kind of ambivalent on. Like, the combat design can be good, but mostly it will just turn into me hitting the kill everything button at some point. So I'm down with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can always just slap it on easy and...
Yep, that's usually how I play these games.
Story, yeah. That's probably the best way to not be disappointed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that ultimately this crop of stuff at SGF has kind of made me feel optimistic about some of the stuff coming out. I know that I feel like the drum that everyone has been banging the past several months is... oh, there's nothing coming out anymore. Like, we're feeling the real lull of the year with, you know, the industry laying off just a shitload of people constantly. And I think we're hitting the actual ramifications of the pandemic. Like, all of these games are now games that were either greenlit or were in development maybe slightly before or during most of COVID. So it feels nice to see stuff coming out. I'm a bit more hopeful about what we have here, and I think it's nice to see there's a lot of interesting new takes on stuff that are not just, you know, here's the next game in X franchise, even though I guess we did talk about a lot of those.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, it's definitely a mix of the two. I mean, it seems like at least the ones that are doing more of the same thing look like they're at least trying to do that same thing well again.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, yeah, I kind of clicked through that Gears trailer again, and that seems like it's designed to get people who are into Gears jazzed about it. So that's a good sign. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how these weather the final production process.
Yeah.
And if we get, like, gross business things ruining some of these visions, or things being pushed when they're still broken.
Yeah, or how many ends of a franchise are we looking at? Like, specifically looking at you, Dragon Age. Like, it's been a billion years since that game was announced. It has had a name change. It has been through it. I'm curious if just the absolute weight of the cost of that game is gonna almost tank it no matter what.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, just bummer, but we'll see. I guess. All right, that's the very I didn't pay attention to any of these when it was happening because I was on vacation scroll through the list of some of the trailers that popped out to me. Cool. If you have thoughts about any of the things that we have thoughts on, I guess you could tell us.
Tell me why Gears of War is good.
Ooh, yeah, that's good.
A lot of people like Gears of War, and I am not one of them, so I'm probably missing something.
Yeah, what do you like about Gears of War? What's jumping out at you? Why do you play this game? Non-accusatory.